Well, that's the, in one sense, that's what it means. It means that you act on the basis of God's promise that your actions are not going to be scrutinized. You see, that's the point. How can we dare to get up in the morning and do anything if we think that we're going to be sinning against God's will? See, this is what we've lost. I mean, this is just not even on the radar screen anymore. But any person who understands that we were created in the image of God to live out God's good and gracious purposes and will, who gets up in the morning and dares to get out there and act, and cannot see the outcome of their actions, let alone understand the real motivations for their actions, ought to be terrified to do anything. And this is exactly what drove Luther to the monastery. He came to realize this, that how can I have any confidence that anything that I do is not going to get me, send me to hell? And it's in that dramatic tension that the gospel speaks, you see, of the forgiveness of sins. We can dare to love, dare to live, sin boldly, believe more boldly. We can dare to live an active life of love and service, not because, well, now I know that everything I'm going to do is going to be in God's will. But what now we can know that everything I am going to do is going to be covered by the forgiveness of sins. Because everything that I do will need it. If you didn't read my last Mast article, I said in the last Mast article, it's not the worst, our worst that should disturb us in terms of judgment. It's what? Our best isn't good enough. And that's what we do not believe today. Well, I'm doing my best, you see. How do I make this work in daily life? Nothing works in daily life. Are you kidding? When it comes to faith, when it comes to living a godly life in God's will, nothing you can do, nothing I can do will work. This is why Luther and the Reformers called us to the cross. You cannot rely on yourself. Even the best that you offer is not sufficient. It cannot atone. And that's why this has to be kept, we have to keep saying this over and over, because our default position is what? Well, I'm not that bad. I'm compared to, I've done this, and I'm, you know, and I want to make this project work. How do I make this? How do I get success? That's not the point, you see. The freedom that God gives is take up your bruised, battered, broken, limited self and get out there and live to the best of your ability, because there's nothing now stopping you. Yeah, because the one thing that ought to stop you cold in your tracks is the knowledge that God's keeping score.
But God is not keeping score. God is playing on your team.
Yes, and you see, that's why we start the confession. From whom no secrets are hid. We acknowledge here this morning that we have no right to be here.
Because Marge's question really has about his gospel.
Well, I know what it says to me.
About his letters, but then we believe that the letters are the inspired work of God.
Yeah, well, but good enough for what? And did they have to? They didn't have to be good enough for anything.
Good enough for God to use.
Yeah, exactly. That's the good enough for God. He brags in one of his letters, you know, Pharisee among Pharisees. You know, as to the law, blameless. Circumcised on the eighth day. Perfect pedigree. If anyone can claim adherence to the law as justification, I can. But I count all of that as dung. That's the word he uses. Excrement. Now that I know Christ, that's worthless. And that's the final attack that even good church-going people like us are defending against all the time. The attack on our goodness. And until that goodness breaks, till our claim to goodness breaks, we do not know what the gospel is. We cannot know it. I have no confidence in the flesh.